What is the latest research telling us about how the spread of this disease is being reduced among Tassie Devils?
Well, it's showing us that the rate of spread has decreased. So there's the R number, which everybody's familiar with, COVID, the number of secondary cases per primary case. And we used some very sophisticated genomic analysis to show that that peaked at about 3.5 in the early stages of the Tassie Devil disease epidemic. But it's now decreased to around about 1, which is replacement value, which means that the disease is no longer increasing in frequency in the population. It's reached some sort of a steady state.
Do we know how they've managed to stop the spread, such as it were? I mean, I wouldn't think they're the best animals for social distancing and the like.
Well, actually, we do have a little bit of evidence that there may be some social distancing going on. We put these, what we call proximity sensing radio collars on them, and they can detect when two devils are close to each other. And we have seen some evidence of subtle behaviour changes as a result of the disease. But we think that mostly what's going on is that evolution is a wonderful thing and the devils have actually evolved resistance to the tumour.
We also have some evidence that the disease is perhaps not as universally fatal as first thought.
Well, yes, that's more evidence actually of evolution at work. So when it first appeared, if you saw a small tumour on an animal, then within 6 months it would be larger and then you wouldn't see the animal again, so it had died. But in a small number, still a relatively small number, we're seeing evidence that the tumours actually shrink and go away. And when we look at those animals on which it's happened, those are genetically different from the animals on which it doesn't happen. So again, that's a strong indication that there's been some evolution going on.
So the one-to-one is kind of a plateau amongst the spread of these ones, I would imagine. Obviously, this one was a pretty serious threat. Just how, you know, endemic has this one been across the Tasmanian devil population up until this point? I mean, just how bad did this disease get before we kind of reached this?
Yeah, it's spread across almost the entire range of the devil. There's still a couple of pockets on the northwest coast of Tasmania which the disease is yet to get to. But basically, it's across the whole geographic range of the devil. In diseased populations, it can drop population size by over 90%. And on average, we think that overall, the population has decreased by at least 80%.
How vulnerable do we find the current population still?
Well, they're still listed as endangered, and they still are vulnerable to extinction. We think now that the disease itself is unlikely to drive them to extinction, which is what we feared 10 years ago. But there are other threats to devils, particularly roadkill. They're very susceptible to roadkill, simply because they're black and white, so they're about the same. You know, they look like a road. And, of course, being scavengers, if something else gets knocked over on the road, then they're out there on the road feeding on them.
Transmissible cancers themselves are hardly sort of widespread. They occur in a few species, but awfully not many. I've wondered just how good is our understanding of how this disease actually even works at a very basic level?
Well, we're learning more, but you're right, we don't have a good understanding. Transmissible cancers, as far as we know, are enormously rare. There's one which is known from dogs, which has been around for a long time, and it rarely kills the dogs. And you usually only see it now in poorly managed strays or something like that. But the bizarre thing about the devil is there's been a second one which appeared in the last decade. At the moment, only in a little pocket just outside Hobart. But for it to have happened twice to the same species is truly extraordinary.
Yeah, there was some feeling that they might be, as a species, particularly susceptible to these kind of diseases.
Yeah, that's right. When it first appeared, we thought that what was going on was simply that they had so little genetic variation in their populations that their immune systems couldn't detect the tumour cells from another devil as being non-self. We've realised now there's quite a bit more to it than that, and that the tumour itself essentially has various adaptations that hide from the devil's immune system. Now, that's not unknown in tumours. Even in humans, tumours evolve within the individual very, very quickly. That's one of the reasons why chemotherapy, often people have a remission and then it comes back again. Because what's happening is if you kill off, if you kill 99% of the tumor cells in a human and 1% aren't killed by the chemotherapy, then that's the 1% that grows.
And just finally, I mean, obviously this is terrific news. I think terrific news for anybody concerned about the ongoing existence of the Tasmanian devil and sort of species that, you know, come under threat. But what kind of research do we still be needing to look into, do you feel, to ensure the continuation of this creature?
Well, a radical suggestion which is gaining increased support is the notion of considering or investigating the possibility of releasing them back onto the mainland. So Tassie devils were all over Australia until about 5,000 years ago. They disappeared from mainland Australia when the dingoes came in, but there are many areas of southern Australia now in particular where the dingo numbers are pretty low, and there's a good chance that the devils might be able to re-establish. And if they did, there's considerable evidence that we've got that devils suppress feral cat populations, and there are suggestions that they may also suppress fox populations. So cats and foxes are amongst the biggest threats to our native species, and we may have the solution to that problem, the Tasmanian devil. That's a, we need to do a lot of research to make sure it's a safe thing to do, but that's where I think the next big advance is going to come.
Well, there are some intriguing moral arguments, obviously, in some of that conservation thought. But, look, I will let you go, Hamish. Thank you very much for joining us on this one this morning.
No worries at all. Pleasure.